Your speaker is Claude Farr.
The first one is the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. And so if you'd like to follow along as I read this morning, you can be turning this time to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. The law of God. One thing that we clearly understand is that we're not under the law of Moses. Something that we in the churches of Christ have studied diligently through the years and have learned to very clearly avoid binding the law of Moses. And a great deal of the writings of the New Testament are dedicated to showing that we are not under the law. And we need to clearly understand that. But the Bible does teach that there is a law of God for Christians. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Sometimes we emphasize one doctrine so much that we maybe kind of move another one out of its proper place. And so this morning I want to kind of emphasize the importance of law in the Christian's life, the law of God in the Christian's life. And I want us just to look at a few of the very positive passages that we have in the New Testament with regard to law, the law of God. First then, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, in these verses, the Apostle Paul is contrasting the flesh and the Spirit. Life in the flesh or life in the Spirit. And notice particularly what he says. He talks about we need to mind the things of the Spirit. Verse 5 again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What does it mean by mind the things of the flesh or mind the things of the Spirit? Well, it just means, what is the concerns of your life? What are you doing? We talk about a man, we would say, that he minds the store. What do we mean? We simply mean that he's there working, looking. That's what he's taking. That's his interest. That's what he's taking care of at that particular time. To mind the things of the flesh means to be interested in the fleshly things, the worldly things, and pursue those things in your life. To mind the things of the Spirit means to be interested in the spiritual things and pursue the things of the Spirit, the teachings from God's Word. That's to mind the things of the Spirit. Now, one very simple way to illustrate it in just one point is simply, you know, are you interested in reading and studying the Bible and finding what God says in His Word, or are you interested in reading Playboy? That's the difference in minding the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. Or with regard to the money and the material things that come to you in this world, are you interested in hoarding those things up and using them for your own self? Or are you thinking in terms of sharing those with other people and helping those who are less fortunate? That's the difference in minding the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. And so the Apostle is emphasizing in this verse that we need to be minding the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. And then he talks about the results in verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And then finally, so then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. The particular thing that I want us to notice in this verse, though, is the expression, the law of God. I thought we were talking about flesh and spirit. What does law have to do with this? And this is a very important passage to help us understand and appreciate the importance of the law of God, because it is found in a spirit passage. It's found in a chapter in the Bible that, as much as any other chapter in the Bible, is emphasizing the Spirit and being a spiritual person. But right in the midst of those verses, the Apostle talks about the law of God. What about the person who is deeply religious, but not really too interested in subjecting himself to the rules and the regulations of God's law? Paul says that person is not a spiritual person, but carnal. Concerning the carnal mind, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. What about the person, on the other hand, who is really careful to subject himself to the law of God? How do you describe that person? Legalist? In the religious world today, if a person really is emphasizing and interesting and doing things just the way God and His Word teaches it to be done, a person a lot of times is kind of put away, put off by saying, legalist. The Apostle Paul says, spiritual. The person who is really interested in knowing the law of God and subjecting himself to it is the spiritual person. It is the carnal mind that is not dedicated to and not willing to be subjected to the law of God. Then the next passage I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 and 21. Paul is talking about his work as a preacher, and he says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Now, Paul is just talking here about how he works as a preacher. And he says, basically, I try to be all things to all men, at least as far as possible. If I'm talking with those who are Jews and are under the law, then I'll be accommodating. I'll follow certain stipulations of the law. I'll go that way. If I'm talking to Gentiles who have no use for the law of Moses, then, you know, I'll live without law. But now, he doesn't want a misunderstanding here. And so, he puts in the parentheses, and that's the part that I really want us to look at. In this little parenthesis, he says, "Being not without law to God, but under law to Christ." Christians are not under the law of Moses. Christians religiously are not under the laws and regulations that any man might make up. But Christians should never think that they are without law to God. And so Paul emphasized that. He realized that somebody might misunderstand. All that he has had to say in his writings about not being under law, he knew somebody might misunderstand. And so he makes it very clear, being not without law to God. And then he states very emphatically that we are under law to Christ. And that's why we try to follow the Scriptures. Just as when it comes to the matter of salvation, we're under the law of Christ. And so we teach, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." And we have no right to change that. We're under the law to Christ. In our worship, we're very careful to try to worship God just as it is laid down for us in the Scriptures. Because we're not without law, we're under the law of Christ. And so we try to worship just as we're taught in the matters of morals. We do not do as the world does, just kind of go with the times and change moral beliefs. There are some things that are accepted that are morally acceptable in our society that a few decades ago were not acceptable. The world changed. Not the Christian. Not on those matters. We're subject to the law of God or the law of Christ. In our daily living, it's not just live our lives as we want to, but let the law of Christ direct our steps. And so the apostle, right in the midst of saying that to those that are without law, I go to them as without law, but not without all law. Really, there is a law of God for the Christian, the law of Christ. And then the next passage, book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Here again we have the law of Christ. And then he gives us one particular of that law, and that is the bearing of one another's burdens. That's a part of the law of God or the law of Christ, as it is expressed here. Then the next passage, book of Hebrews chapter 8. I want to read verses 8 through about verse 12. Concerning the new covenant. Hebrews 8, verse 8. Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I want us to particularly focus our attention here in verse 10 where it says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them upon their hearts. The new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. The new covenant does not eliminate law. Far from it. Laws are not thrown out because we're under the new covenant. No, he talks about the laws being in the mind and in the heart. There is very much a law of God or a law of Christ for the Christian. What does he mean? I will put my laws into their mind and write them into their heart. Talking about revelation? Is he saying that the Lord will just kind of reveal to me and I'll know right from wrong? No, that's not what he's talking about. The Bible clearly teaches in other places that the revelation is given through the apostles and is written in the Word, and that's how we know what to do to be saved, and that's how we know what's morally right and morally wrong. It's revealed to us in the Scriptures. What does he mean? Though, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. Well, this perhaps is the strongest passage in all the Bible that shows us the importance of laws in the Christian's life. Because he's saying it's not just laws written, to use the Old Testament, on tables of stone. It's not just laws written in our New Testament as we read. It's not that. It's more than that. It's not enough as a Christian to carry around the law of God in your hand, but you must have it in the mind and in the heart. That's what he's saying. In the mind and in the heart. That doesn't de-emphasize the importance of the laws of Christ. That emphasizes it, saying that it's not enough just to have it on page and paper, but that it must be in the mind and heart. It comes into the inner part of man and controls his life. That's what that means when he says, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in the heart. It means that it's so much the part of our inner self that we just live by God's rules and by God's law. Because that's what's inside. One other passage. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Again, and I hope you've noticed, of course, in each of these passages that we've looked at, it mentions law for the Christian in a very positive way. And here it is referred to not as the law of God or the law of Christ, but here it is called the perfect law of liberty. And a couple of things to notice about that. One, it is a law that is to be kept. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Now, somebody might misunderstand. In fact, people have always misunderstood, back from the very first, the idea of liberty. Now, some people have the idea that if there's liberty, if there's freedom, then there's no law, there's no rule to follow. And you can just live as you please. Well, he talks about a law of liberty. But he makes it very clear that by the law of liberty, he don't mean that we're set free or at liberty to break it. But he talks about the law of liberty and continuing therein. It is a law to be kept. The perfect law of liberty is a law that we're to live by. It's a law that requires doing. The next part of the verse says, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. A number of years ago, I was reading a book, and the writer said that he regretted that the word do was found in the Bible. Only believe, that's all. And he regretted that the word do was in the Bible. Well, unfortunately, for him at least, the word do is in the Bible. It's right here and it's many other places. If a person's understanding of Christianity is such that he would have to remove the word do from the Bible, then he obviously has misunderstood Christianity. And so when the apostle talks here about the perfect law of liberty, he's talking about the rules and regulations, the law. There's a law of liberty. There is something that you must do. You look into that law, and then you do what it has to say. So this morning I just wanted to look at these few passages that emphasize the law of God. Now, I believe very much, and we teach, of course, very clearly in the churches of Christ, that we're not under the law of Moses. We don't follow those rules and regulations. And we've always taught that we're not under the creeds and the dictates of men. We're at liberty. We do not have to follow any man-made creed. But there is a law of God for the Christian. There is the law of liberty, the law of Christ. And that governs and controls our lives. That tells us how to become a Christian. That tells us how to worship and serve God. That tells us what is morally right and morally wrong. That even tells us how to conduct our family life and raise our children. There is a law of God for Christians. And the truly spiritual person, and the person who really has faith in God, is the person who will be diligently trying to follow the teachings of God's law. We urge you to become a Christian just as it is taught in the perfect law of liberty. You need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins.